Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy, two combat tours in Iraq. And if you were listening for us at the 9 o'clock hour, we kind of got set back from 10 to 11. So we'll be 10 to 11 for a while. If you want to go ahead and know that that's the time frame we'll be on, we still have an hour to honor our country and our veterans and our military and those who support our community, all of our amendment rights as we continue to move forward. And as we go, I just want to say, you know, we've been working on this Battlefield Expressions art program with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And I want to let you know how successful that this program has been. We introduced this a couple of weeks ago at the very beginning of March, and we continue to have more veterans and their families and children become part of the program in Tehama County, Shasta County, in Siskiyou County. If you're a part of this program, you don't have to be in Shasta County. You don't have to come to the firehouse in Cottonwood and be there for every class. We have been mailing out these different art programs, packages to our veterans that are in need in different communities. We've sent them to veterans that are in Paradise who've lost their homes, and this is an opportunity for them to perform some healing and to be able to express themselves and to get their feet back on the ground because of the loss of their homes and the transfer of their families and things like that. So it's one thing to be in the military and to be bounced back and forth from either a combat zone or a duty station or whatever else experiences that you have while you're serving your country, and then to come back again to your home and still be uprooted by natural disasters or by fires or things like that. And so this gives us an opportunity to reach out to those men and women who served our nation faithfully and allow us to continue to support them in a way that they can express themselves and to be able to have some personal healing in their lives as they're able to release some of this anguish and some of this pain that they have from whatever the experiences that they are. I know that we have some veterans families who have come and they're dealing still with issues with their family. It's not just one era. I mean, it's going all the way back to Vietnam, issues there, issues with Iraq and Afghanistan veterans and things like that. It continues to be a part of our lives, whether we want it to or not. And at times, it raises its ugly head. And so as we continue to move forward with this art program that allows these individuals to express themselves, to come to a meeting with other artists, and to be like-minded, and to be able to comfort each other, to be able to talk about these situations. A lot of times while they're painting, they're talking to somebody that's right next to them. And whether they know it or not, they're expressing themselves and allowing themselves to be able to talk with somebody that's like-minded, somebody that's not going to point a finger at them, somebody that's not going to say, well, you're the problem here, or you're the problem there, or whatever else. These individuals, we have a voluntary military, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know that, every man and woman who serves this nation right now is a volunteer to preserve the freedom that we have as a nation. And that also means to give opportunity to individuals who want to express themselves with freedom of speech, those that it's either hate speech or it's not hate speech, or it's individuals who want to take our Second Amendment rights away from us. We fought for those people. So it's important for us when we come back to continue to stand on those foundations of what we believe, those foundations of what we fought for, the foundations of what we raised our right hand for and said, I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution. And we will continue to do that regardless of what others in the community might say. And so I just want to remind you that we have these different programs that are going. Our Silver Star Veterans Program, helping widows and elderly veterans in our community, which is ongoing. And then also our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services Program. As we continue to help families that are in need this Easter holiday, because we were able to raise a large amount of money with the Iron Soldier Ride, with Reading Yamaha Sea-Doo, we were able to feed 50 military families this Easter holiday. And how important it is for us to be able to supply these families with hams and turkeys and two or three boxes of groceries that go along with that. And so that large turkey or that large ham is going to feed that family for at least an entire week, along with the groceries to go with that. And so when we receive funding in from individuals in the community to allow us to take care of these families that are in need, a lot of time these families come back, they suffer, they struggle, they try to get their act together, and they continue to move forward at a lower level because they're dealing with traumatic brain injury, or they're dealing with issues coming back from the military, some type of an injury or whatever else. And so this program allows us to be able to reach out to these individuals who have served their country faithfully and to be able to give them a hand up in our community, and for us to be able to say thank you for a job well done. Thank you for serving and volunteering. Thank you for preserving our freedom. And we want you to be a vital part of our community. We want you to step up and get back into what's going on in our community. We don't want them to hide away. We don't want them to just be off to the side and think that there isn't anybody that cares. Remember, there's 22 veterans a day that lose their life, that give their life, that sacrifice their life to suicide across our nation. And I say sacrifice because anytime an individual takes their life, that's a sacrifice. It takes away from the integrity of our military. It takes away from the integrity of our nation. Because every one of these men and women who stepped up and served our country, they need to be upheld. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they're not alone. A lot of times these veterans find themselves off by themselves, and late at night all the devils and the demons come out, whether it be just depression, or it be alcohol or some kind of drug-related issue, because they've allowed themselves to fall into some of those situations. And then we lose them. We lose them to, literally, we lose them to the devil. And so it is so important for us to make sure that our hand is continually outreached to these individuals, and so that they know that they have a common, safe place of like-minded individuals who honor them for their service, and to say thank you for them. And that's why it's so important with these programs that we have. So I'd like to remind you, if you'd like more information about any of these programs, you can call the museum phone number. And that number is 530-378-2280. And we want to make sure that they know that they can give us a call, and we can lead them to resources. We can give them information concerning the programs that we have. And once again, that phone number is 378-2280. So we have to make sure that we just don't let them go to the wayside. We have so many veterans and their families in our Northern California community that we need to step out and say thank you every opportunity we get. We want to remind you that the Northern California Veterans Museum is bringing the Wall of Remembrance into Shasta County in July-August timeframe. So between July 28th through August 1st, we are going to have the Wall of Remembrance, which is the 9/11 wall. It's about 125 feet long. We'll have it at the museum property at 4659 Ronda Road. And that will be on display 24/7 for 5 days. And it is our opportunity, once again, to be able to bring a place of healing back to our community for all of our veterans. That wall is for all of our veterans because it honors the sacrifice of those who lost their lives that day, just like those who gave their lives at Pearl Harbor. This honors those who gave their lives at 9/11. It'll be 10 years since the wall was created and on display, so this will be the 10-year anniversary for the Wall of Remembrance.
Oh, God.
And, it'll be and the, cool the April night.
April 26th,
believe it's May 20
1st.
Years
it's over a week
9/11.
Of classic car fun.
No stopping lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday,
project,
April 20th.
And get your tickets now for the big event
sure
with up to 2,000 classic
and
cars on display
for
Saturday,
it's
April
30th. All Americans
it's
to come
bigger than ever.
And for us to remember that day that tragedy took place.
April 26th,
and then now the men and women who continue to serve. drive around the world with Global Auto Parts Terror, the GWAT.
For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com.
It's important that guests to talk about all different kinds of issues
with
our weather.
Tickets for the big show on sale now at any of the eight Napa Auto Parts stores for $8 pre-sale and $10 at the door.
They are willing to take away our freedom and our nation's
wristband to get you into the big show, plus 4 nights of live entertainment at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Sponsored in part by Reading Tourism and Marketing Group, Wind River Resort and Casino, Lithia Chevrolet, and Cresco Equipment. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com.
You're listening to Battlefield
Express. CoolAprilNights.com.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're playing Anchors Away because our guest is Les Converse, who is a former Navy veteran. And Les, thank you for being our guest here this morning. You also have Converse Construction here in our community that you developed and put together after you came back and went through school and everything from the Navy. And so, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I would like you to go ahead and talk to us a little bit about your naval experience and maybe some of the heritage that gave you the incentive to go ahead and join the Navy.
Yeah, everybody here has come from some legacy. And I've been lucky that I've come from several different legacies. One was a legacy of our family that has had a military tradition going back many years. I did have relatives that served in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and Korean, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Afghanistan. My nephew is back from Afghanistan. I served in the first Gulf War with my brother and my cousins. My three uncles all served in the Vietnam War in Army, Air Force, and Navy. And my tradition has been more in the Navy. After college, I went 1 year to college, and my father had lost his job, and I was looking at a point, what do we do? Where do we go the next step? And I wanted to take a step that first was going to be financially viable and was intelligent, but also we had many family members that had served in the military. And I saw that as not only a good tradition, but I also knew it was a smart move for a young person that wasn't going to go in debt for college, wasn't going to run up these huge amounts and then wonder what I was going to do. So I joined the Navy, and I joined in called a program called the Navy Nuclear Program. My NEC was 3386, which is a nuclear engineering laboratory technician. I served on the USS Nimitz, where basically everything from radiation to water chemistry, and I was also qualified chief reactor watch. So spent a lot of time in the nuclear Navy for 4 years.
Well, now, they don't just let anybody join the Nuke Club.
No, it's pretty exclusive in a way, and exclusive in a difficult manner. Let's put it that way. If you if you take the ASVAB test, and you were going to nuclear field, you scored probably 90 to 99, which are the highest scores. If you scored high in the ASVAB, the Navy recruiters were, we got the program for you. And they tell you about all these promotions. They tell you about how you can race through rank. But you're ex-military, and if you knew that a particular field, you could raise your rank really quick. You also know that there's a lot of people leaving that when they can, too. So it was a difficult time. I spent two tours. I went out on one Westpac, and I went out on a world tour. And I was there when Taiwan did their first elections. We were pulled out of the Persian Gulf to be on station for that time. In fact, it's kind of an interesting story. So, as you know, a carrier's never out there alone.
Right.
Yeah, they're out there with a whole battle group there, and so that's a support ships, a submarine, and such. So when we got the order, because China was starting to threaten me, they were shooting missiles over the China Seas, they actually had deployed over a 200-ship Navy around Taiwan. It was pretty hot right at that time. So they decided that they wanted a second carrier on station during that event. And so we got the call. I was in the Persian Gulf at the time, which found a little ironic for us. We're in the Persian Gulf, we got combat pay, and then here we pulled out to Taiwan where there was an actual fleet sitting against us, and we lost our combat pay.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's bureaucracy, but it's, you know, you got to live by the rules. That's something you learn. You, in the military, you live by the rules. Well, I'll give you an idea. Our whole fleet left. We went in port. We picked up supplies. The nuclear carriers are so fast that our battle group met us on station. We beat all of them. Even though we had an extra day and a half that we stayed back, we were able to transit a day and a half quicker because those two nuclear reactors can really put out some power.
Yes, they can.
So I'll go back a little bit. So I encourage people when they're looking at a profession to look at the military. And there, people get in for all sorts of reasons, but as you know, whatever your reason for getting in, it doesn't change the fact when you get out, you're a family. When you get out, you have people that have had different experiences than the general community. You have people that have seen things that other people haven't, done things that other people haven't.
Enormous responsibilities.
Right, but this is a bonding. I've even bonded with my friends that were Marines. I've had several Marines, and I tell all my good Marine friends, you're recovering nicely. As you know, I say that, but I have several friends that are Marines that I have such high respect for, and you do for everybody in the service. So I got into the Navy because at that time, I didn't have that many options that I thought were as good as that. And so I ended up going through boot camp in Orlando, Florida. And then I went through nuclear power A school and power school in Orlando, then prototype in Idaho. And then I was deployed to my very first ship, the USS Nimitz. Now, the Nimitz was just getting done with an overhaul, and it was going to be about have the most sea time of any aircraft carrier during that time. So what we saw was anyone that could get off the carrier were getting off, and so a lot of people were coming out of schools. So we were a pretty young group, which was exciting for me because it meant there was a lot more work, but we were able to receive responsibility quicker. So I was ended up qualifying auxiliary chemist, nuclear quality insurance inspector and stuff. So it was a great learning experience in the amount of stuff I was given. Nobody was given that opportunity that quickly to such a young person as the military does.
Friday night,
you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Les Converse. We'll be right back.
And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9, or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
RC from Tobacco and Brew here, introducing this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Perla del Mar, a gem of a smoke. The Perla del Mar features special, hand-selected, aged binder and long filler from four distinct regions of Nicaragua. Smooth, lush flavor with a complex but balanced smoking experience. Perla del Mar. Get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
When that plane finally landed, was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the boost finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, I don't know what it is, you seem different to me. I said, I just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for. A land where our brothers are dying for others who don't even care anymore. I'm not exactly the same.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows, and our guest this morning is Les Converse. And Les is a former Navy veteran, a nuke sailor. And Les, we're talking about your duty as a nuke sailor just coming back on the Nimitz during the Taiwan-China crisis. And so tell us a little bit more about that experience. We're talking about the service, the sacrifice, and the what you when you're working in a tight quarters with other individuals under tight situations, you form a brotherhood where you trust that person with your life and you trust that person with their job and those capabilities.
Yes, you do, and it's a bonding that will stay with you for the rest of your life, and it'll even set up a situation that future bondings will be using this as a template for it. And that's something that I've often gone back to, and I look at a lot of my close friendships and my time even now, I've used that. So first of all, you have to think about how close we were together. One of the military bases got converted to a prison, and they immediately got sued because they said that it was too crowded, and they'd already had it at one-third the capacity the military was. The room we're in right now, I would say, is somewhere around 18 feet by 12 feet. In the Navy, that means, yeah, we could get 20 people in here. Yeah, they can live. And so you live in a real tight area, and it makes you realize how you have to live in such a manner that it's more about the people around you than you yourself. And this is something that I've been able to take on a lot forever with me. But the nuclear program was intense. We had a lot of training. It was a lot of cerebral training. At the time I went through, our attrition rates were real close to what the SEALs were at that point. We lost almost half the people that went into the program, didn't make it through the other end. So it was not just a small achievement to reach through the program. With that said, you're not going to like every person, and that was probably one of the better things to learn, too. You're going to live closely, you're going to work with, and I would say every one of us would have died for each other, and we would have stepped up and done our duty, even if we didn't quite like the person. So I think there's a misnomer out there that everybody in the military loves each other. That isn't true. But we do have respect, and when you build relationships on respect, that you can carry through all sorts of adversity. You can go through different opinions. And so, yeah, I used that to build up through my life. So I served on the Nimitz for 4 years. I saw I actually went through the Suez Canal. So I saw all this stuff happen in the Suez Canal and laughed. In fact, I often told people that I did not go to Africa, I did not go to Europe, and I did not go into the Middle East in that one area. But I drove by, and I did wave. I let everybody know. I did drive by and wave. So after I got out of the military, I served my 6 years, and I had this great opportunity where they were going to help me pay for college. And so when I got out, I came back to California, and I had 1 year completed at Shasta College, and I went one more year back at Shasta College.
Now, they didn't offer you a great signing bonus to go back on for another 6 years?
Oh, they did. It was $45,000, and because I was in the Persian Gulf, it was tax-free. And we had the highest signing bonuses in the military. But I loved so much about the Navy, but I was ready to move on.
It was time for a different change.
It was. And that's what the military did. They gave me an opportunity. They gave you the GI Bill such that you could, at that point that you decided to move on, you had great opportunities.
Right, and they paid for it.
They paid.
Well,
yes.
You paid for it with your service.
Yeah.
But they also paid for that because that's part of the benefits of the service.
Yeah. I often joked with people when I was in college that, yeah, my family member's paying for it. I had to work hard, but paying for it. And they go, who's that? Uncle Sam.
Right? That's exactly what it's all about. But it's about not just serving your country, but knowing that when you get back, you have those opportunities. And a lot of times when we come back, it's not the branch of service where we really find the issues. It's dealing with the VA as a whole, the federal government VA, when we come back trying to get our other benefits. And there's always a disconnect there that it seems like we have to work so hard to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think that there people see what benefits the veterans get and think, maybe that's unfair. They're getting too much. But I don't think that they actually relate what the service that's being performed. We would not have a nation without that military. We would not have some of these opportunities without this forward projection of power. The value of our military in our society, no matter who you are, is very valuable, and it's impacted every individual's lives. So some of these programs that we see for the military personnel have been amply deserved. That was something I would think about. So, yeah, after I got back, I went one more year to Shasta College, and then I was set to go to Sac State. And my father, who graduated Oregon State, wanted at least for me to try for a university. So I told my dad, all right, I'll apply to the 2 most northern UCs, whatever those two UCs are. And it turned out that was Davis and Berkeley. And I got a letter back from Davis saying, nah, thanks. Good try, but nah, thanks. And so I got everything set up to move down to Sacramento. And here in May shows up a letter from Berkeley saying, welcome. So I ended up going to 2 years at UC Berkeley. And what I found odd there is that was such a dichotomy, that university. You would find somebody doing Bible studies every day on campus. One of the largest groups was Young Republicans. And so there, I was able to see a side that is almost never reported about the university. I actually enjoyed my time there.
I think that when people hear about Berkeley, they immediately assume that they're thinking about all the things that took place during the 60s. And that can be further from the truth these days.
Yes, yes. Actually, when the second Gulf War started, I was on campus, and they actually had a candle vigil for all the people there. And so it wasn't a political one. It was more of a one of remembering and concern. And it was something I was pretty well touched with. But that's one of the things that I go into my view, even with people. I don't really care what a person's political view is. I can still appreciate, respect, and like a person that has no views even similar to myself. And so after I finished up with Berkeley with my civil engineering degree, I came back, and I worked for C.H. Toombs Hill in town here for a few months. When I spoke with my old employer, he had employed me off and on the whole time in the military, and I asked Larry Tony, and I go, Larry, would you hire me? He goes, well, I don't like civil engineers, and I really don't like Berkeley, but I'll give you a try. Maybe you can overcome that.
That's what I mean about Berkeley having its own preview.
I know. I've gotten that before. My emphasis at Berkeley was environmental engineering. And I had one of the other liberal letter and science majors go, oh, I bet your dad's upset about that. And I go, you have no idea what an environmental engineer does, do you? Because what we do is we're the ones that do the water treatment, the wastewater. We're the ones that look at these environmental problems, whether it's carbon collection, and say, how can we solve the problems our society or our nation has today. That's what an environmental engineer is, not an advocacy group. So after I got done there, I worked for Larry for 3 years when he retired, and my father and I started a company. And it's called Converse Construction, Inc., and we are very excited that we're able to serve this area as an industrial contractor. Because one of the things I love about our company is I've done two things. One is from the military, I learned what a leader was. A leader has responsibility, and that responsibility is more important than anything else. It's more important than recognition. It's more important about financial achievements. It's the responsibility that you have, and it's that you've had people place their lives in your hand, and what are you going to do with it, and how are you going to treat those lives properly? Because that's what the good leaders in the military, we look at the great leaders in the past, you know, where it was Storm and Norman, because he's kind of more from my time frame, or one of the great ones, a Patton or Eisenhower from the past, they always had ability to focus on their troops and put their troops first. And so that was something I used, and I wanted different, because in business today, too many times I've seen corporations that are worried about their stockholders. They're worried about that extra tenth of percent of profit, and they completely forgot about the workers. And that was something I committed on that I never do. And so we've had an ability with Commerce Construction. First of all, we're a disabled veteran business. I am a disabled vet.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. And I knew that if the company was going to be disabled vet, I did not want myself to be the sole beneficiary. We currently have two other disabled vets working for the company, so we have three disabled vets, and we've employed two other disabled vets in our small company, and our company is a third veteran, too. We actually won an award from the Department of Labor for being a veteran-owned business and meeting those criterias. And that was because we had a commitment to these individuals that worked there. And one of my favorite quotes was from a good friend of mine, and he said that, remember, at 5 o'clock every day you don't have a business. And that's reminding yourselves that it's the employees that make up your business. And so I've had a commitment to them, and so we've been able to do stuff like we have medical, we have dental, we have 401k, we have profit sharing. You get 3% of your paycheck every year. The company gives that back in your retirement account. And we have various other benefits from cafeteria plans, and a lot of these we haven't had to do. But as if you know from your service in the military, a lot of our service in the military wasn't something we had to do. It was something we did. And we did it with honor, and we took satisfaction in what we were able to accomplish. And we didn't have to be the person out front. And that's something that I try to make sure that I emphasize. So I gave you my business card.
That's right. We talked about that. And underneath your business card is your name, but there is no title. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do not have a title on my business card because I never forget that this business is set up to provide for our community. We bring dollars back from Sacramento. We bring them back from Belle Marin. We bring them back from all the state, and we bring them back to our county, Shasta. Because if you notice, most of the big contractors out on the highway and stuff are from other counties coming in. So our company is one of those companies that's bringing dollars back to the county. And so one of the things that I've made an emphasis is I wanted to protect our employees, and I wanted to grow the company in a way, and so I wanted to be whatever our client needed. And so I wanted to find out what the client was, and I didn't want to give preconceived notions, so I left no title. Because I'm actually a licensed electrician, I'm a licensed civil engineer, I hold 4 contractor's license, I'm one of the oldest licensed stormwater designer and practitioner. My license number is 534. There's only 533 licenses before mine.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't care what people think of me. I care how well I can do my job.
Right.
And I care how well we can impact our employees, how we can impact our communities. And that's something I absolutely love about construction, is that construction is when we're done, there's a physical evidence of something physical here that we provided to our community. Our little company has worked with endangered fish. We've done a lot with Fish and Wildlife on various endangered fish, providing areas that they can provide more of them. We've also done infrastructures for water for a lot of Indian tribes to give them better water and sewer. We've done all these type of things that impact our community where we're talking about, whether it's from power, we've installed electrical charging stations, whether it's, helping the environment. We've done different projects to do that. So at the end of the day, our employees can point at something and say, yeah, we did that, and it made our community better.
And the key term is we.
Yes.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of the currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent of their father's continent.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, the show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Well, Les, as we move forward to the program, I just want to say thank you for being here. I did get a chance to thank you for your service to our nation. And once again, thank you for coming back to the service to our community. And welcome back. We're going to talk a little bit about the job opportunities and things like that. You have a community for veterans that are looking for those opportunities. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
And Cool April Night
is back. April 22nd through May 1st.
It's over a week of classic car fun.
Dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 29th.
And get your tickets now for the big event with up to 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 30th.
It's back, bigger than ever. Don't miss the 31st annual Cool April Night, April 22nd through May 1st.
Get your tickets today at any of the 8 Napa Auto Parts locations.
For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Tickets for the big show on sale now at any of the 8 Napa Auto Parts stores for $8 pre-sale and $10 at the door. And new this year, for $25, get your all-access wristband that gets you into the big show, plus 4 nights of live entertainment at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Sponsored in part by Redding Tourism and Marketing Group, Wind River Resort and Casino, Lithia Chevrolet, and Cresco Equipment. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Birthday was the day he was born.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Les Converse with Converse Construction, former Navy veteran, and as we are talking with Army veteran also. And Les, we've talked about leadership skills and different things like that that you learned while you were in the service. And tell us a little bit more of the practical skills that you learned that you brought back and that help you in your skills as an electrician and in your business with your construction outfit.
Yes. In my particular field, it's the Navy Nuclear, and in the Army, I was a combat engineer for the National Guard, the local 132nd Engineering Battalion here in Reading, Alpha Company. Yes, I learned quite a bit. So first of all, as my primary job as a laboratory technician in the Navy was water sampling. Well, I've ended up working quite a bit with water treatment plants, whether it's drinking water, wastewater, UV, and having an understanding of all the terminology and what are we sampling in the waters to allow for our equipment to operate provide the quality of drinking water or the discharges to our environment from our wastewater treatment plants that we need. That was a huge advantage. Now, one of the biggest advantages I received in my military training is I was also a nuclear machinist mate, so I did a lot with pumping systems and testing. And that's something that is I've used all quite a bit. In fact, my knowledge of pumping systems and water systems has allowed me to design, even in our community, several sewage lift stations. And when I do take a project that has wastewater or drinking water, I'll do an engineering review, make sure these pumps are correct. And I learned so much. In fact, I often tell people I learned more practical that I use on a day-to-day basis from the military than I ever did from UC Berkeley. I get paid because I got that UC Berkeley diploma on the wall. So I let the military know, hey, we got to take the next step. You want to get that diploma or something on the wall, but I can tell you in a personal one, as a combat engineer, I ran a bulldozer. I ran some heavy equipment, did explosives. In fact, when I got finished with the military, I had quite the resume. I had worked with radiation, chemistry, explosive, and combat. You know,
That's well-rounded.
Nice, well-rounded. It's what you bring up at any time you're having a little tea party.
There you go.
But, yes, I found the testing and all that stuff. And the thing was great is in the military we had such precision documentation that I write a lot of final acceptance testing plans. I write all sorts of these plans, which has saved our company a significant amount of money, and it has allowed us to pursue different projects that we wouldn't otherwise been able to pursue. So the training I got was very practical, and that's on top of all the various ones. Because, like you said, learning commitment to those below you, learning what is a leader and how a leader is supposed to act, how is a leader supposed to occur, be. Said, and those are tools that they come out. So I would be very, I've had a couple veterans come up to me and go, I packed a rifle. What am I supposed to do with that? And I go, you aren't looking at it right.
Right.
If you look at it the right way, you don't know how much you've learned. And we're in a society where we don't ask a lot of from a lot of kids. And even in the sports programs, they're so structured that we aren't asking for that creativity. We aren't asking for the fact that you can go and do something. You look at what we've done with 19-year-old and 20-year-old boys. I mean, that aircraft.
Young men.
Oh, young men. Well, I'm sorry, I'm approaching 50s. They're now almost children.
They're young men.
Yeah, they were young men, then they went to boys, now almost children. It's amazing that happens as you get older. You probably...
We're still kids to some.
The number is reducing.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I also like to tell them that there has been a lot you've learned. Now, I'll tell you that the Navy and the Air Force, if you are looking for a future, they hold a lot of programs where you learn a lot.
Inside and outside.
Inside and outside. Because I was an electrician, mate, but in the nuclear program, they cross-reference you on everything. They wanted a well-developed sailor. And so I did learn a lot of electrical, and I learned a lot about diagrams and stuff like that. And I later self-taught myself, and I got my journeyman electrician license. I'm a licensed journeyman electrician. And I was able to use a lot of training I had in the military that wasn't related to give myself a skill that was very valuable.
Now, you said you're looking for an electrician with your business as you're speaking right now.
Yes, yes. If you're an electrician and you're looking for a good work environment where you'll be valued and you'll be able to bring back to the community and have something just more. If anyone describes what I want from my employees and from me, is something more.
It's not just a job. It's a part of the service to the community and the service to the company that you're working for.
Yeah, because it's a perspective. When you realize that you're doing something valuable, you realize that you are valuable, you realize that you're part of a team, so that means you don't always have to succeed. You're allowed to fail. When you have that scenario, then you have the ability to love what you do. And I think there's been an overemphasis on people, find what you love, and that's what you need. No. I would say, find a good job and learn how to love it. And because if you do that, you have all sorts of opportunities.
Best of both opportunities.
Yeah, because when you're 19, you maybe love music and girls or something like that. What are you going to really find? Whereas if you're looking for the opportunity and realizing I'm going to learn how I can love it, and that's one of the things that I've, as a boss and as an employer, I've tried to give the environment that the individuals could learn to love it and see the bigger picture. Because it is great when you turn on a water tap.
And that doesn't just benefit them. That benefits you and your organization also. I mean, that part of that team effort and total goal orientation.
Yes. Yeah, no, we've been very successful last few years. And I feel blessed. I mean, if I could sum up my life, I would say one word sums up my life, and that's thankful. And I always try to realize that I want everything to fall that way. And so I'm thankful for our employees. I'm thankful for the ability to come on and talk with you. I learned about your museum, and it's something that I have a heart for because we are a legacy. And if we don't know what legacy we came from, it's hard to reach our fulfillment. And so having some of these museums and having this history that we're able to come in touch with and look at makes us better individuals. It fulfills us, and it also tells us not only our legacies can have some warts in it, and they can have some awful beauty in it. And if we can learn from other people, we will be a better person.
And I think that's part of the issue that we're having right now with our country and the younger generation that we have that's coming up right now, is that the legacy, the good and the bad part of the legacy, because there's always a counterpart, has not been taught in perspective. It's either one or the other, but it's never together so that it's a balance. Our nation is a balance of ideas and things like that. It's far left, far right, whatever else. But it comes back to allowing people, the younger generation, know at least what their legacy is, because right now they're floundering. That's why they're destroying everything, because they have no idea. Nobody ever taught them what their actual legacy really was. And so instead of building on that legacy and making where we live a better place, where our nation is a better place, it's that's lost to this generation, I believe, that we have right now. And I
think news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Once again, thank you for what you do in our community with your business. Thank you for serving our nation. And the World Bank.
Palestinian assailants we will do our best Israelis in attacks in recent weeks, and that sparked several Israeli raids.
First, we have a better community for us to be able to
rise, even though there's been at least some call
You're listening to Battlefield
Expressions. Both sides of that equation.
I think there's a lot of interest on the part of Israeli authorities and Palestinian authorities in preserving calm.
Abortion providers in Kentucky are asking a federal judge to grant a temporary restraining order to put aside the state's new abortion law.
Kentucky Planned Parenthood Director Tamara Weider says the GOP-controlled state legislature's law that blocks most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy is filled with revisions but fails to spell out the regulations and procedures needed to comply with those revisions.
That's correspondent Tim McGuire reporting. Kentucky, just one of several states now passing more strict abortion laws. Evacuation orders for close to 5,000 people are still in place as firefighters battle a deadly blaze in New Mexico. Things could get worse before they get better, according to National Weather Service forecaster Brian Geyer.
Unfortunately, the weather pattern over the next several days, including today, looks to hinder any efforts for firefighters in the area, as we are expecting a critical fire weather pattern to continue over a vast majority of New Mexico.
And the flames have already destroyed more than 200 homes and left two people dead. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube, but almost nothing comes out? For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash-out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too hard to get out? It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. If you're interested in cashing out the extra pepper in your home, we're good at doing all the work while you just sit back and relax. And often, your mortgage payment and years in the loan will stay the same. If you'd like to hear about your options,
we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Other license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
An honor for a Holocaust survivor.
Gerda Weissman Klein, an author whose All But My Life described her ordeal and who went on to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, will be remembered at a memorial May 1st after her death April 3rd in Phoenix, where she had lived since 1985. She was 97. Klein was born in Bielsko, Poland, and was a teenager when Nazis invaded the country. Her future husband was among American soldiers who liberated the factory where she was held. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
The Biden administration is extending the nationwide mask mandate for airplanes and public transit. The requirement had been set to expire on Monday. It will now expire on May 3rd. The CDC extended it by 2 weeks because, the White House says, they want to take a closer look at the BA2 Omicron subvariant. That's one that's now responsible for the vast majority of new COVID-19 cases. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Liz Sheridan, who played mom to Jerry Seinfeld on his hit sitcom, has passed away at the age of 93. A look back at her career from correspondent Ed Donahue.
Sheridan was in Seinfeld for the show's entire run.
Hello, Mr. Seinfeld.
Hello, Newman.
She played opposite Barney Martin as her husband Morty. As for Jerry Seinfeld, Sheridan said in a 1998 AP interview, how could anyone not like him?
I like to hug him. I hug him to say goodbye and I hug him to say hello. And that's a nice thing. I told him I love him like he was my son, and he said, I know, I love you and Barney like you were my father and mother.
Sheridan played the neighbor in TV's Alf. In her book, Dizzy and Jimmy, Sheridan recounted a romance in the early 1950s with a then unknown, James Dean. A longtime friend says Liz Sheridan died in her sleep. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You are listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. I want to welcome you this morning to Battlefield Expressions and to just kind of give you a quick update. We are still doing our Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy Program, and it is going excessively well. And we are so glad to be able to have the families that are coming to the program and the veterans who are coming to the program. We have Korean War veterans. We have Vietnam veterans. We have Desert Storm veterans. We have Iraqi Freedom veterans. We have family members. We have children. We have spouses. We have widows. We have Blue Star moms. Moms with their kids are serving in the military right now, and this is helping them to be with a community of veterans and family members to help them with the stresses of their kids leaving home and then also being in the military. And so what a great opportunity it is for us to be able to have this program available to our community. It's open to all veterans and all military family members. We want to remind you that the whole program is sponsored by the Northern California Veterans Museum and the California Arts Project, and this is through a generous grant from the California Arts Project to be able to reach out to veterans that are in need. You don't have to be a PTSD veteran. You can be a veteran that's just looking to work with other veterans, to be able to have something to do in your life, something that is positive, that promotes well-being and good health. And we have such a good group of individuals who are there, good attitudes. It's just a wonderful atmosphere. And once again, if you'd like more information about this program, I'd like to go ahead and give you the Firehouse phone number, which is down in Cottonwood where the classes are being taught. And that phone number is 347-8068. 347-8068. And that is being held at the Cottonwood Firehouse. The old historic Cottonwood Firehouse down in Cottonwood, which now belongs to the Northern California Veterans Museum. It is our restoration facility, and we are using that as a hub for all of our Homeward Bound programs and for Battlefield programs. This Easter, last week, we were able to hand out 50 meals to military families that were in need. And those meals were full ham meals and full turkey meals. And they came with a couple of different bags and boxes full of groceries and goodies and things for the families. I think there was 28 baskets, Easter baskets, that were handed out to the families that had children that were in need. All of this is facilitated through our Iron Soldier Ride, which we had this last October with Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo and Steve McCarley and his wife. They're great supporters of our veterans in our community. And when you attend different events that we have, such as the Iron Soldier Ride, it helps to promote us being able to take care of the food for veterans at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And because we had such a good turnout this last year, we were able to supply these meals to veterans' families that were in need at Easter. And so as we continue to move through the year with the events that we have coming up, I just want to say thank you to those individuals who stepped out and helped support these programs that we have for the Northern California Veterans Museum, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and now Battlefield Expressions. we have all these great things that are going on in our community. We don't talk enough about the programs that we have. We need to talk more because we're usually out pounding the sidewalks, taking care of the veterans that are in need and getting that help out there. And this morning we're going to have some guests that are with us here from Shasta College with some other programs that are going on. We're going to talk with them about what's taking place and how we can help the veterans through our local community and our college system and other programs that are out there and available. Last week we had the Converse Construction on. Les Converse was here, and we talked about how he had some construction jobs that were available for veterans in our community that have any type of construction experience or would like to have more construction experience. And he is a veterans business organization. He is one of the largest business organizations in Shasta County that supports veterans in his business process. And so we want to shout out to individuals in our community. He is a Navy veteran, and we want to say thank you to those individuals who continue to help our veterans coming back from the war zone, coming back from extreme stress, from their op tempo, from wherever it is that they may have served their country. And then to be able to welcome them back into our community and to say thank you to them for their service. And now we want to be able to give you a hand up, not a handout, but a hand up to get back into your career, to be able to get back into your home, to be able to get reestablished, and to be able to help you. And if you're struggling, we supported each other in the military. We helped each other with our rucksacks and our sea bags and everything else. We helped each other as we're doing our training, the hand up to the next step, the next level of what we were up against. And as we come home and we serve here in our community as veterans with veterans, we continue to want to honor that. We continue to want to be able to help our veterans as we move forward. And so that is so important. We also want to remind you that coming this July and August, July 28th through August 1st, we are going to be bringing the Wall of Honor, the Wall of Remembrance here to Shasta County. And that is going to be at the Northern California Veterans Museum property on top of Ronda Road and Cottonwood Hill. They're just south of Walmart in Anderson. That is actually Shasta County Incorporated, unincorporated. And it is important for us to remember our veterans, our young veterans who have served since the global war on terror, since 9/11, to be able to bring this wall. It's the 10th year anniversary of the Wall of Remembrance, which remembers the names and the individuals who lost their lives that day on 9/11 and also have served in the global war on terror since that time frame. And we will have that wall there for 4 days. It will be open 24 hours a day. It will be open to our community. We want you to be able to reach out and tell as many people in our community, in the counties around us, and throughout Northern California and Southern Oregon. We want individuals, we want the community, and we want veterans and their family members to come. This is a wall of healing. This is a wall of remembrance. This is the place where we'll be able to invite you in and have you be a part of why it's so important for us to continue to fight and serve for the freedom that we enjoy every day. You know, there's a lot of different people out there that take a lot of different spins on freedom. But let me tell you, when the rubber meets the road, when the bullets are flying, when you're trained to be able to put your life in front of the lives of others to sacrifice, no greater love hath a man than to lay down his life for another friend, for another individual. And that's what we as military personnel are trained to do. We are trained to step up, we're trained to be leaders, and we are trained to be able to take the place of another if another goes down, and also if we need to be, to sacrifice our own life in the lives of others. And it's not just for your buddy. It's also for your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, the neighbor next door, the man down the street. To be able to say, this is my nation, this is my country, and I choose to wear a uniform that means I may have to sacrifice my life if I'm asked to do it. But I choose to do it willingly. Nobody is forcing me. We're not a communist nation, not yet anyway. And it's an opportunity for us as volunteers in our United States military to step up to the plate when we are asked to serve and to wear that uniform proudly and to be able to do the job that we are asked to do, whether it's at home or whether it's in a combat zone. And then for us to come back home and to live our lives as proud, honorable citizens. And sometimes that's difficult, and that's why we have our programs, to make sure that we carry on to say thank you, though, to those who have served our nation. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Twin River Resort and Casino would like you to feel the wind in your hair and the rush of a Mustang in your veins
with a brand new Ford Mustang V8.
Play our future classic car giveaway Swipe to Win promotion for your chance to win.
Play your free River Club card daily for a free slot play and prize.
Weekly drawings every Thursday at 7 p.m. Final drawing April 28th.
Win a 2022 Ford Mustang V8 Fastback.
More details at WinRiver.com.
Come visit us today and find your moment at the river.
Hey folks, you're listening to KCNR Radio. We're right here in the heart of downtown Reading, your locally owned radio station on 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning again. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Millie Israel and James Kay. And James, I'll let you introduce your last name here in just a minute. And they are part of the Veterans Service staff at Shasta College. Good morning, Millie.
Good morning.
And good morning, James. I want to make sure, because I was calling you Dave earlier, so I want to make sure I get your name properly. Sometimes I have so many other things on my mind that I just call everybody the wrong name or whatever. Thank you for being here this morning. You're both veterans since the post 9/11 time frame. And Billy, you were just talking to me. We were talking about you joining the Army. You joined the Army September 10th of 2001, which is
perfect
the day
timing
before 9/11. And so tell us a little bit about you going into the service. You were an MP,
mm-hmm.
and talking about choosing the MP program, and then a little bit about where you served.
So I knew I always wanted to be in the military, and I also knew I always wanted to be in law enforcement. So why not combine the two? I didn't realize how hard it was going to be because I needed a waiver because I was too short. And so got everything in, and I was telling you, my sister and I enlisted together for the delayed entry program because we were going to wait a year. And 9/11 happened the next morning, and they said, nope, we need you in November. And so we were on the first flight out from San Jose to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, or Fort Lost in the Woods, Missouri, as we like to call it.
Of course.
For training. And it was, for me, it was a mixture of knowing that I'm making my own dreams and realities come true, but also what just happened to our country.
Right.
And what does that mean for us? You know, people say, you know what you asked for when you enlisted for those that have gone to war. And
no, you don't.
You don't. When I enlisted, we weren't at war.
Right.
We were nowhere near war.
Literally 12 hours earlier.
And so it was, you could see the passion and everybody there that was wanting to be there. And we, like you said, helping each other up to the next level and making sure that we were trained because we knew at this point, at some point, we were going to be shipped out. We didn't know when, we didn't know where, for how long, but we knew it was a reality, and our drill sergeants made sure we knew it was a reality.
You know, it's one thing to join because you want to join everything else, and not necessarily because there's a war going on. even though you know that might happen. But yeah. Then to find out that literally the next morning there's a war, and now your whole different perspective on life changes.
Right.
Because now it's not just joining and then going to serve someplace and going to A school.
Right.
Now you're going to be heading to a combat zone someplace, and there's no other way around it. It's going
right.
to happen.
And that's one thing that the drill sergeants let us know, is that the difference between the cycle before us versus our cycle was they knew that they were going to serve. They knew that they were going to be sent off somewhere to do their job. Versus us, they knew that they were training us to send us off to war. And that shifted their perspective.
Sure.
Because I just graduated high school. And so we have all these people graduating high school who these men and women are now training to send off to war, not knowing what was going to happen.
Just like World War II and Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Yes. A lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you chose the MPs.
Absolutely.
So where was your A school for that?
So with military police, it's a one-stop. So it's an OSET training. So we're with the same soldiers and the exact same drill sergeants from day one until they ship you out to your duty station.
So how long was that period?
17 weeks.
17 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then we got our orders and I ended up getting orders to Germany. And my husband at the time was stationed there already. He went in about 6-7 months prior to me. And so got to Germany, walked in, tried to figure out where I was supposed to go. And I'm in a whole new country, don't know how to call a cab, don't know how to do anything because I don't speak German. I took German for a year in high school and didn't pay attention because I didn't think I was ever going to need it.
Right.
And my first sergeant literally comes up to me, shakes my hand, says, "Welcome to the 127th Military Police Company. Keep your bags back. You're going to Kosovo." And I'm just like, what the heck did I just do? And where is Kosovo?
Right.
And how do I tell my parents?
That's like when during Vietnam they joined up and they were sent out and they said, well, where's Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, where's Pearl Harbor?
Right.
All of a sudden you're being introduced to all these new countries and names and things like that, and new languages, and it is literally a brand new experience.
Right.
And you're not going as a tourist.
No.
You're going into the war zone, and hopefully you can keep your wits about you through the entire process.
Right. And I think one of the things that made it easier for me is I had just come out of basic training. And so I had all that training. It wasn't one of those I went to basic training and now I'm deploying 5 years later.
Right.
Where we haven't really done any full-on training for anything.
Yes.
So I was still in that mindset of, okay, this is how we've trained. I don't know what we're doing in Kosovo. I don't know where it is. I don't know what's been going on over there. This is going to be interesting. But I was still in that mindset of, okay, this is what our world looks like right now, and there's no going back, and I can either freak out and be scared and terrified and get myself or someone else killed, or I can continue in that mindset of like, okay, we're all coming home.
Right.
I don't care what that looks like. We're all coming home.
Right.
Plain and simple. Because if you go in with any other mindset, that's a dangerous mindset to have.
Oh, sure it is, because you're not paying attention. It's like driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour and looking at your phone.
Right.
You know, and what happens there, I mean, the fatalities.
Yeah.
So it says when you find yourself in that position, you have to be able to have that mindset to know, I've got to pay attention every chance I get, because mm-hmm. if I don't, that will be the opportunity for me to lose my life or limb or the life of somebody else.
Correct. And so, that's just the mindset I had to have. I was 18 years old, and while my friends were off partying and, you know, running the streets and going to bars every night, I was worried about coming home and making it back to even just camp, not even making it back home. It was, how are we going to make it back to camp?
Into the wire.
How, we just got to get in here and be fine. And even though that's not always the case, even behind the wire, it's not guaranteed safety.
Right.
But you're not out in the general public where things are going on. But.
Well, let me ask you, I don't get enough female military personnel on the program. I ask lots of women to be part of the program. I don't always get them to be, whether they're bashful or whether they've got other things going on in their life. Give us a perspective. We never get the perspective from a woman that's in the modern-day military today. Some of the concerns that you've had, some of the things that you learned, some of the things that maybe the military can still change. But if you were talking to a girl that's thinking about going in the military today, especially since you were Shasta College, what are some of those things that you would bring to the table?
Ooh, that's a really tough.
I know.
That's
it's
a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
Especially.
Answer as you will.
So, I would definitely encourage women to go into the military. And I say this cautiously, that you have to go in as a different mindset than a male would. There tends to be more danger for women in the military.
Right.
A lot of that is coming to the forefront, and a lot of that's been in the media lately. So it's one of those you have to not only pay attention to your job and what you're doing, but also when you're not at work, constantly paying attention, constantly.
Situational awareness.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And it's a lot of pressure, and it's not. It's nothing. How should I say this? Whatever happened in the military when I was in, I wouldn't change it because it's made me who I am.
Right.
As weird as that sounds. But there is more fear for women in the military. But with the way things are changing and the way things are going to eventually change, I still encourage women to go in. And I still think it's more women need to be reflected in the military and represented in the military. And it's not just a good old boys network that people like to think it is.
And I think that one of the things that can be that our society, because we have a society that's we try to make sure that the people that go into our military are upright, forthright people that have integrity, that try to do the right things and things like that. We get dirtbags in the military, too.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that sometimes those dirtbags find out how easy it is to lead other people on and take advantage of them.
Correct.
Because it's not just women that get taken advantage of.
No, not at all.
It's other buddies that get taken advantage of also. And so we tend to put a false trust in these individuals because we've been with them for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever else. But they've been held to a different standard at that time. But as soon as they let their guard down, the real person or the wolf actually shows through.
Correct.
And I think that a lot of times that when women are taken advantage of in the military is because they had put their trust in a fellow military person who gave them a false pretense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they let their guard down, they're taken advantage of.
Yep.
I saw that as a senior chief and as a chief petty officer with other individuals. They were being recalled and going through the process. And we had to be very careful to look for those individuals and weed them out before they created those situations. Because once they create the situation, they can ruin a person's life.
Correct.
And they can ruin a command. And they can ruin the whole situation of trust in that situation. And we all want to be able to trust the guy that's next to us with a loaded weapon.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Supposed to be covering my six and whatever else. And as a chief petty officer in charge of personnel, it was very difficult and very important for me to be able to look and see that. So I understand those situations that women come up against in their situations right now. We're going to get ready for a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Get your motors running and cruise down to Wind River Resort and Casino Sunday, April 24th for our annual Show and Shine. No need to sign up. This free event is from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Space is limited, so get here early. Show your classic car and enjoy a hot dog meal, $10 free slot play, and a t-shirt. Additional hot dog meals available for $5. Favorite car wins $50 free slot play and a hotel stay. Bring the whole family and find your moment at the river.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246 YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our second guest is James K. You can pronounce your last name.
I can. Konopitsky. James Konopitsky.
Konopitsky. All right. And so I didn't want to butcher it, and so I let James go ahead and say that. United States Air Force veteran. And James, I want to just step right into it. I just want to finish talking with Millie for just a second. Millie, we were talking about women and females joining the military and things like that. So before we step off and into the Wild Blue Yonder and talk with James, I just want you to finish your statement and your comment about women being in the service, because I think it's really important that you finish that statement about talking why you would encourage girls or young women to still continue to join the military.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception that, I mean, in a lot of spots, it is a good old boys network, and that's the reality. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no hiding behind it. That's fact. But more women are being represented in combat jobs. When I was in military, police was the closest that a woman could get to combat. And that's another reason why I wanted that job, because I wanted to be where the action was. I didn't want to sit behind a desk. And I think that with doors opening up and women proving that they can do these jobs, more women need to go in and prove that they can do these jobs and be represented and show that the military isn't one-sided. It's not just men ruling everything. And that just because you're a woman does not mean that you have to stay at home and raise kids, and you can go out and have this amazing career and travel the world and see things and then decide what you want to do in your life, and that you're not limited, because the jobs are endless and the experiences are endless and the friendships and everything is endless.
Well, I know that in the Navy Seabees, when we were in Iraq, we had women drivers. We had women equipment operators that were in bulldozers, backhoes, and different things like that for the different projects. We had them out on the bomb crews where they would be filling in IED holes and repainting those areas where the IEDs had gone off. And those were dangerous areas because the Iraqis would plant secondary IEDs. So mm-hmm. The EOD would go out and they say, okay, this hole is clear. But then down another 3 or 4 feet, there was a secondary IED, and their metal detectors and their bomb-sniffing dogs were not finding those four-foot bombs. So when you put the shovel of a backhoe down in the bottom of that to take out that loose dirt, boom, you hit that secondary IED, and now you've blown up the operator and any crew that might have been standing around that. So there was always a danger, no matter what and no matter where you were at. Mm-hmm. We had female corpsmen that were on the line in the convoys that lost their lives, that gave their lives. One of the first Navy personnel that lost their lives in Iraq, she was at one of the checkpoints checking the females as they were going through. And on the way back, they were hit by a SUV IED, suicide-borne IED, and they were all killed. It was three Marines and one CB, and she was the first female in Iraq. She was part of our unit that was killed there in Iraq. And so we knew her personally. So it affects everybody that's around you. But, yes, those dangers are everywhere. You know, people say, I don't want to join the military because you're going to get killed. Well, why don't you just drive down I-5 through heavy traffic and watch the people talking on their cell phones and watch the people that get killed every single day talking on their cell phone. They give their lives for no reason whatsoever. If you're going to give your life, why don't you give it for the cause of either freedom or of the protection of your family, of your nation, or for your brother or sister you're serving next to?
Mm-hmm.
Why not give your life for that has a cause?
Yeah.
Instead of throwing it away because of a cell phone or some other foolish distraction. And so, yes, I would encourage also our young people, whether they're male or female, men or women, boys or girls, if they're of age and they have the opportunity. There's so many other learning skills, and we'll talk about that are available out there to them. You know, there's, for those that are willing to work for it, there is a world of wealth of knowledge that is out there that can be used in the military and outside the military.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've transferred from that, because we're short on time, James, we want to talk a little bit about why you joined the Air Force and where you served, and give us a little information about your experience.
Absolutely. Actually, my experience is quite different than what Millie shared and what you've been sharing too off the air. Completely different from combat situation. I actually joined in 2007, so it was a little later. I was actually in high school when the post 9/11 happened, you know, September 11th happened and all that. And then just a trickle effect with friends. I had a few friends that joined. They would come back after a year and be completely different. And this was, you know, slowly having an effect on me. I'm sure it had effect on a lot of people. But during that time from when I graduated high school and actually joined up, I was actually moving into a Fortune 500 company. I was actually going kind of up in the ranks, I guess you could say. I was moving up to more of a manager position. But there was a void. There was always a void. And my family is not really a military family. My grandpa was in World War II, but kind of stopped from there.
Right.
And I've been known to do some things that my family doesn't do. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I've had buddies that gone in. I've seen how they come out. You know, I want to relate to them. I want to get a sense of what's going on out there, and I want to fill that void. I want to do something a little bit bigger and better than what I'm doing.
Well, one thing about being in the military is you are a piece of a cog, which is a giant machine that moves forward. But and sometimes there's questions about it, but I would say that 90% of the time, that machine that's moving forward is doing great and wonderful things, not just here in our own country, but around the world for other people who are in greater need than us.
Yep, absolutely. So when I joined, I actually was able to choose my career. I chose airfield management. So it was a very niche, very small group. And I was actually ended up getting stationed at one of the very unique stations for airfield management, which was at Andrews in Maryland. Which is the presidential base,
all
for those that
ones.
Don't know. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so I definitely got to, utilize my management skills. Absolutely. But one of the things that was very unique there that I'll never forget, because I was always on the flight line, making sure that airfield was operational. That was the key element of my job. Was seeing these C-17s on how frequently, even in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, even all the way up to 2011, me getting out, seeing those C-17s come in, sometimes on a daily basis. Every once in a while, they may skip a day or so. But because we're close to Walter Reed, which was the huge Army hospital in that area, these C-17s would come in, and you just see these three or four buses pull up, and you see them just pull out these gurneys and just put them in the buses, and then they take off. I think that's probably one of the most starkest things that I'll remember, even at a base that's like that, you know, because I would see the president, you know, almost every day. Whenever he flew in, flew out, I've seen emirs, kings, all that sort of stuff. But it's so interesting. My mind always goes back to those troops coming back. And then knowing that just above us at Dover, they're getting C-5s, which are a bigger aircraft of those that have deceased that did not make it back. And just making that comparison in my head just, for me, was, wow, you know, it's incomprehensible what's going on over there. So I did actually get deployed before I got out. I didn't get deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, but I got deployed to Qatar, out there by Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Right there on the Gulf. I actually didn't know what I was going to get myself into.
Do we ever?
Right? Exactly. Exactly. And I come to find out for airfield management, it's one of the busiest overseas fields to work at.
Qatar is.
Yep. Qatar okay. is. Because it's kind of the hub for the whole Persian Gulf area. For flights and stuff like that. So, gotcha. So, so just being over there and then just seeing the amount of fluctuation of aircraft leaving, coming back, air refuelers. And I actually knew where they were going and what they were doing as an airfield manager. I had that radar. Seeing the B-1s take off and knowing exactly who they're going to support. Just up the ante for me in my duties and job. And I was like, you know what? And there was almost a form of frustration to make sure that stayed the way it did and those planes got off. So completely different story than...
Well, it was critical because we were the ones that were on the ground there. You were there in 07. Mm-hmm. What year was it?
07 to 11.
So you're in... But when you're in Qatar?
Oh, 2010.
10. Okay, yeah. So I was already back by then, but my son was there in Fallujah with the Marine Corps at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we actually served a year and a half apart from each other, but we walked the same grounds in Fallujah, father and son. And so I know how critical it is for being able to have those fast movers. We called them, you didn't know what they were. They were just screaming above your head. Mm-hmm. We just called them fast movers coming across, and we knew that they were there for a mission, and they were taking somebody out, and that somebody was against us.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether they were helicopters or high-flying C-130s coming in to take care of a mission into Al-Takaitum or the fast movers coming over and dropping rounds around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we didn't call them and somebody else did. But it was, it's just the orchestration of everything coming together to be able to take care of the individuals who are on the ground. Because the boots on the ground was where the action was.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else supported the boots on the ground. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're talking about Iraq at this moment. And we're talking about service in the Air Force and service in the Army. We'll be right back.
Redding is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Redding to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Reading.
Go big to feed your dinner bear with Black Bear Diner's brand new wow-sized 14-ounce USDA Choice Porterhouse Steak Dinner. Served with veggies and your choice of side, including our brand new house-made creamy cheddar cheese mac and cheese. This dinner will fill your plate and your belly. Get it now at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum. Featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do if not me, Mama? If not me, then who? He's upstairs shaving, his clothes are starting pressed. I'm down here praying, my mind is in a mess. I ask where he got these crazy ideas anyway. He just smiles and says, it's the way that I was raised. And if not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else? If not me, Daddy, if not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we have our two guests here. We have Millie, and we have James from Shasta College, and they are, Millie served in the United States Army, the MP, and then James also served as the airfield manager overseas, and then also in the United States, and we're just finishing up talking to you, James. I want you to just finish a little bit about your story, and then we're going to sure. We want to talk about the next level. In fact, you know what I want to do is I want you both of you to just finish talking about your stories here. I'm going to have you come back, and we'll talk about Shasta College. Because I think Shasta College deserves it's a full hour, and we've lost an hour in our program, so we can't do it justice. But I think that it's important for us to carry on with both of your stories and to explain, just like the song says, if not me, then who? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about why you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rob, I mean, the stories make the people at Veteran Services at Shasta College. And, you know, it'd be great to come back. I would love to come back to talk about it.
You're going to.
Everything. Great. Excellent.
I want you both. Both of you to come back.
Because there's so many stories that go on at that place.
Yes.
Especially talking with all the veterans that come through. But, yeah, to going back to my story, when I was deployed to Qatar, even though I got out shortly, and I'll explain why I got out, but one of the words I said was frustration when I was there. As an airfield manager, as I said, the responsibility is you have that airfield. It's yours to keep it open. That's your main goal. And anytime something happened, and there was this one circumstance where I won't go into too much detail, but the airfield had to be shut down for over an hour. And I saw the B-1s lining up. We were also one of the main stations for the KC-35. So those were the refuelers for the jets that are already in the air. The helicopters are in the air. All that giving support to people on the ground, as you said, the boots on the ground. And so I operate in frustration for, it was a little over 6 months, not that long, but that whole time I was operating in frustration to make sure that, you know, those boots on the ground got it. Because I came from a base where I saw what happens if those planes don't get there.
It's critical.
And, yes, and it, absolutely.
And the word critical does not come close to describing when you're under fire, you're under attack, and you're waiting for that support in seconds or hours, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because of the, it's so intense of the enemy action, and you know that your support's out there someplace. You just don't know why it's not there yet.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in me, that was a personal mission. I took it upon me personally and said, I need to get this resolved and get the airfield operational again. So it was definitely a crazy 6 months with that in the back of my mind, you know.
Was that weather related or was it a mechanical issue?
It was actually, it was an aircraft related issue. In my mind, it was a silly one that shouldn't have happened. But it was something that I was the shift leader. So pretty much it was up to me to make sure I got everyone together to get that aircraft situated and resolved. And the base I was at, it was Al Udeid, out there in Qatar. There was a lot of different nations that did operate out of there.
Yes.
So it wasn't just the U.S.
Yeah, the Russians also.
Yep. Yeah, we had a lot of NATO runs coming in and out, which kind of caused its own network of problems. but
when we were out to Qatim, which is central Iraq, there, just a few miles away from Fallujah, it was an Air Force. It was a multi-use facility. And the Russians used to fly in with these massive cargo aircraft.
Yep.
And you didn't even know how they got off the ground because of their technology. But it was just amazing to see those things come in. And, you know, just like I flew in out of a couple of those, when you're in the C-130, they do a nosedive directly for the ground, directly over the runway, and they literally put out the flaps and yank on the brakes and you put it on the ground because there's so much anti-aircraft fire that's in the air, small arms fire, that you want to be as small as target as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every once in a while we would have an emergency landing on the bases and stuff because of what's happened out there, you know, so, and they have to get somewhere that's safe. But yeah, absolutely. So the reason I got out was, is when I was in the military, I actually, did a couple community college classes. Believe it or not, when I was at Andrews, they kind of partnered with a community college there. And I took a class, which was, called anthropology, which is the study of humanity. And it just hit me at the right time, being in the military, seeing what I'm seeing.
Sure.
And then here I am taking a class on, you know, what to look out for to see what people are going through, you know, how people develop and stuff like that. And then going through my deployment and seeing all the, you know, just being frustrated and stuff like that, I was like, you know what? I could go even more. You know, I could go even bigger than this.
Right.
And so that's what really encouraged me to get out and say, I'm going to support these people. You know, these people coming back on the C-17s, you know, that are getting this recovery. You know what? My mission now, I want to make it to where I help them. I help them recover.
That's a totally different mental concept.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that that's fantastic, that you have that mindset. I think that that's one of the things is after coming back from the war, you see the most detrimental part of humanity. The IEDs and the tearing apart of bodies and flesh, the capture of American troops and the beheading and the torture, and the things like that, which are the psychological warfare along with the physical warfare that you see. They don't talk a lot about it in the media at all. It's the same thing that the Japanese did to the Americans during World War II and the American prisoners and things like that. And to witness some of those things and come back, there has to be another way for us to be able to lift up those who serve and to get them out of those gutters, the gutters of of seeing the trash of humanity and then coming home and having nobody care because they have never seen it, they've never experienced it, so why should they care? We come back after seeing the worst of the worst, and then we're expected to live our lives in a better way without any support. And that's why it's so important for us to have these support programs, mm-hmm. because we don't talk about the gutter. We live it, we see it, we breathe it, we dream about it at night. It wakes us up, mm-hmm. it tears us apart, ruins relationships and everything else.
Yeah.
But we never have a solid solution to the answer to those. And when you come back like yourself and like yourself, Millie, and you have the opportunity to work with veterans who have been in these situations and you can relate to them because of where you've been and what you've seen, you don't have to be in combat to understand and know what a fellow military person went through because you've worn the same uniform. You know what the same standards are. You know what the same integrity is. Mm-hmm. And you've already been dedicated to that in an honorable way. And so we're down to our last minute and a half. Millie, do you have any final statements that you'd like to talk about or pass along? And then you're both coming back, okay? We'll talk about the other programs. Because I want you to finish talking about yourselves this morning.
I think if I had anything else to say is go Army, beat Navy.
Hold
Sorry,
on.
Air Force.
The Air Force out of there.
That's okay. We'll stay up in the sky and just watch.
Need to overwatch. Yeah. And what about you, James?
I don't know if I could beat Millie. I'll just keep sitting in my chair. No, just coming back to just that there's support for you, you know, and just got to come home with that, and you're not alone.
And I think that's the biggest thing to remind our veterans, either young and old. Yeah. They're not alone, but a lot of times, especially with the isolation in our society right now, but even isolation before that, that we don't reach out and shake their hand enough and say thank you.
Right.
We're a thumb society that talks on a cell phone with the text. There is no social interaction anymore. And we as humans need social interaction. And I think that's one of the reasons why the programs that we develop with Battlefield, where people mm-hmm. come and they socialize and they talk and they can bring out different things that they need to discuss. And the same with your programs here at the college, how important it is for these individuals to know, hey, you're not alone. You've got people here that are like-minded. If you just want to sit here and talk, if you don't want to talk, if you just need somebody to just kind of hang out with, we're here to support you. I'm not going to throw darts at you. I'm not going to tell you what you did was wrong. I'm just going to say, hey, buddy, let's go have a Coke or something.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is that mm-hmm. you're going to do. I mean, you're on the college, so you're not drinking on the college. But, I mean, whatever it is to be able to share that and to let them know that they're not alone and there's a better way out there.